Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
As 2019 comes to an end, plenty of uncertainty remains about a U.S. policy that's allowed foreign nationals to remain temporarily in this country for medical treatment. That follows the apparent cancellation of the policy called Medical Deferred Action, and then a statement that the policy would continue. WBUR's Shannon Dooling broke the story and is with us now to review what we know and what we don't know about what's coming in the year ahead. Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Bob.
So first off, Shannon, could you once again outline exactly what deferred action is?
Sure. So deferred action is a discretionary decision that is made by U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, USCIS. So this is the agency that handles adjustments to immigration status. So think, you know, grants legal permanent residency and citizenship. And up until August, it was also the agency that immigrants could apply to if they wanted to try and extend their stay in the U.S. because of medical needs. So many of the people I interviewed came into the U.S. with a tourist visa or a medical visa. Those visas expired, and with deferred action, they're basically requesting USCIS to extend the amount of time, often in two-year increments, that they can stay in the U.S. without fearing deportation and while they continue receiving medical treatment. Now, it's important to note that federal immigration officials say there's never been an official program for medical deferred action, but instead, individuals apply for this extension and decisions are made on a case-by-case basis.
As part of your reporting early on, you introduced us this last summer to a family living in Dorchester.
Yeah, my name is Jonathan Sanchez. I'm 16 years old, and I have
cystic fibrosis.
Sanchez, who was born in Honduras, has a pending request with USCIS. He was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis as a baby after his parents sent blood samples to the U.S. His sister died of the disease 18 years ago after failing to receive adequate treatment in Honduras. The Sanchez family entered the U.S. on tourist visas in 2016 and were able to get an extension, but the teen's treatment is ongoing. Now, Sanchez says, he's scared that he too will be denied.
If they deny the program, that I need to go back to my country, and I'll probably die. Because in my country, there's no treatment for CF. Doctors don't even know what's the disease. The only ones who can help me are here in the United States.
Initially, Shannon, no one could explain the policy change to you. Then U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services stated that responsibility was transferred to Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. But apparently, that was a surprise to some people at ICE, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there was so much confusion among immigration advocates, but also among federal immigration officials themselves. No one had a clear answer for me or a clear understanding of why applications were no longer being accepted by Citizenship and Immigration Services. No one could explain whether people with pending applications would be at risk of deportation. It was very chaotic. Remember, most of the people applying for this deferred action are critically ill, so they're also dealing with that very real-life stress. And so when USCIS told us that ICE would be processing these applications, that was a pretty big deal. Until a source at ICE told me that he was stunned by that statement. They were blindsided. ICE had never processed these applications. They never had a conversation with USCIS about processing them. It had no plan to process them.
All this confusion caught the attention of Congress. Massachusetts Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley sits on the House Committee on Oversight and Reform, and its subcommittee on civil rights and civil liberties called representatives of both ICE and USCIS to a hearing. You attended that hearing. Tell us what happened.
Right. At that congressional hearing in September, there was just a lot of stonewalling. There were plenty of questions from members of Congress, not much of anything in the way of answers around why the applications were ended, whose decision it was to end the application process, and why was there no public announcement about the end of the policy? And so Congresswoman Pressley became quite frustrated, saying this to one of the officials from USCIS at that hearing.
It is par for the course with this administration. We often have witnesses that come before us, and I can't call it anything other than what it is. It's stonewalling. It's obstructing. And I just want to make something very clear. This is not about your answering just to this committee. You're answering to the American people.
So following this first hearing, the acting director of Homeland Security, which oversees USCIS, ordered the office to reinstate the application process for medical deferred action. And then there was a second hearing, and it was at that second congressional hearing where we did get a little more clarity. That's when the acting director of USCIS, Ken Cuccinelli, claimed he alone was responsible for this decision. Presley pushed him on whether President Trump or his immigration advisor, Stephen Miller, may have influenced the decision to end deferred action applications, but Cuccinelli said it was his decision alone.
Okay, bring us up to date now. Jonathan Sanchez, who we heard earlier in this story, you followed up on his situation earlier this month. How's he doing?
Well, the applications were reinstated in September, along with his family's application, and just a few weeks ago, his family found out that they were approved for a 2-year stay in the U.S. That means he can continue receiving treatments for cystic fibrosis here in Boston. And they told me they're grateful to be able to focus on Jonathan's health for a few years.
And what about other patients seeking deferred action to continue medical treatment in Boston or other parts of the country?
Well, advocates at the Irish International Immigrant Center here in Boston say only 2 of the 19 applications that they've filed on behalf of seriously ill patients have been approved. That includes the Sanchez family's approval. So they're very anxious about the others. And to be honest, a bit mistrusting of the federal government. They say they'll be watching for a response to each and every one of those applications. Nationally, it's really tough to gauge because statistics around deferred action applications aren't made public by USCIS. But anecdotally, I know of both approvals and denials in what advocates would call compelling cases.
And what we do know about 2020 is that you'll be continuing to follow this story into the new year.
Yes, definitely.
WBUR, Shannon Dooling, thanks a lot for all your reporting.
Thank you.